Welcome to Cooper Talk. I'm your host, Steve Cooper. Remember, I'm only as hip as my guest. And I have to tell you, I'm a little hungover today. I watched the Eagles last night and, you know, my team of Philadelphia. And it's amazing. I had five people over. I made them all wear Eagles jerseys. And if you people are listening, I made a big lie. I lied to everyone on Facebook. I had 28 likes because my friend looks just like Stephen Perry from Journey. And I said Stephen Perry was at my party. And it wasn't him. His name's Peter Kaczynski. But the funny thing is, I did have a former White Lion drummer, Troy Patrick Farrell, a good friend, came over, and he brought dip. Now, there's nothing like seeing a guy who's played in front of 80,000 people in India with White Lion, which if you're an 80s, 90s fan of any rock and roll group, you'll love them, bringing in dip to your house. And I also, the thing is to the show, is what I love about the show is people I meet. I mean, I was texting with Jimmy Schubert and Rich Scheidner, two of the best comedians around, who were both Eagles fans. And so that was my life. And I'm pretty hungover, though. I drank a lot of beer. I had all the beer left over from when the lovely Joanne was out. And so we drank a lot of beer and we polished off a bottle of Patron. But the Eagles won. And I'm in studio. And I have a very pretty, funny, talented woman today. I'm actually a person. I shouldn't say woman. It's person. I hate that. I always say female comic. No, for me it's not. You're a comic. I mean, we wouldn't call
a
guy
person.
Pretty. But it's and she has probably the best name. I always ask names. Her name's Jade Pratak.
You can do it. Start it off like caterpillar.
Caterpillar. And you know, you said you were born in Brazil.
Born and raised in São Paulo, and then of course the name gets crazy because in Portuguese it's Jade Moreira Catapreta. That's my name. It's very,
really?
Very pretty, very exotic. And then you get to America, of course, it just becomes Jade Catapreta, and usually people mess it up. I feel like there's never been one person who got it right.
Now, how did the hyphen come upon?
I think it's always been there.
Really?
Yeah. It means black gold. Cata preta means, well, I guess it's kind of a loose term of it, but like, it just means kind of like black cheap jewelry.
Now, how old were you when you moved up to the States?
I was 13, so I was a little kid, but, you know, I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia, which was a big, big transition, big weird transition. I mean, I went from like a really cool, open-minded, sexy city to like this small-minded town where they were like, what's it like to wear shoes?
Right, yeah. I've heard that, and I've heard Brazil is just an awesome place.
Oh, it's awesome, yeah.
Now, as a kid, because, you know, I don't get many guests who are in the field who grew up in other countries because, you know, and that's like England, there's comedy. But as a kid, did you have any Brazilian influences? Was there comedy? I mean, what shows did you watch? What made you end up getting into this business? Because it's very weird. Like, what is Brazil known for?
I know, right? Well, not comedy. Actually, comedy is like a super new thing there. I've been watching because I'm dying to go, obviously, to tour there.
Have
and
you
do
gone
comedy.
Back?
We've gone back, yeah. We used to go back for like Christmases and stuff when we were younger. But it's just so expensive and getting the whole family there. But I'm dying to. So if anybody out there wants to sponsor some kind of thing where I go out there.
You should because, you know,
I'm dying.
Go back.
Yeah.
You should be like Brazil's own. Like, wouldn't that be great? Like,
I know.
Like I'm playing in my hometown, right next to my hometown in 3 weeks. People, September 27th, I'll be at the Marlton Comedy Cabaret.
Shameless.
But it's cool because it's like when people call, it goes Cherry Hill Zone. But I mean, that's like Cherry Hill gives a crap. But Brazil Zone, I mean,
I know
because like, you have a good career going up here and then you go back. That would be so awesome.
It would be so sick. But it's comedy so new there that they're literally like, when I see comedy, they're like, okay, so what I'm doing right now is doing some observational jokes. If you could just follow along, like it's
really
so new. Yeah.
You could be like the Brazilian Seinfeld.
I want to be like the Brazilian, the Xuxa. Like Xuxa was a big, do you remember who she was?
I don't even know Xuxa.
Xuxa is like one of the biggest celebrities in Brazil. She started as a kid, like a kid performer. She had this kids show, which I actually went to when I was a real little kid.
Now, is that why you got into this business? Because of Xuxa?
Xuxa, right? Maybe, ultimately.
The Xuxa influences have a Jade.
But she was married to Ayrton Senna, who was the very famous race car driver who died. There's actually a beautiful documentary called Senna that everybody should watch. But
yeah, you know what? That's on Netflix. I was going to watch that. My friend
brilliant.
Said it's really good.
Yeah.
Senna. Yeah. I actually have it in my queue, so I should watch it?
You have to watch it. Okay. They have so much footage. He's had this rivalry with this French car wrench.
Now, is that the movie? Ever. Is that loosely based on the new movie coming out called Rush? I wonder.
Oh, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, that's kind of like the Senna storyline. Okay. Like, motherfuckers. Oops, sorry.
Sorry.
Beep.
That's okay. It's just my niece listens. She's 13. But she lives in Manhattan, so she's heard the F word.
Yeah,
many times.
She lives
in
Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Are you
for her
kidding?
Whole life. So, yeah. You know, she said, sorry, Lauren. Jade says
Lauren.
Sorry.
Lauren. again.
And when Tommy, your dad, curses, you can go, I heard Jade say
Jade.
That.
Jade. No, so, okay, I'm sorry.
Back to Sousa. I want to hear about Sousa.
So Sousa was like this kind of like cool blonde, gorgeous. Like she just had these like really cheesy like.
Was she like a charro? Sort of like a charro, like that kind of.
It's weird because Brazil has all these weird like, no, kind of like, not really like charro, but Brazil had all these kids shows. Well, I guess I knew about them because I was a kid, but she would have all these like catchy songs and it was kind of like a daytime talk show. And I actually wanted to be a musical theater performer. That's actually what I went to college for. I started as a dancer.
Well, you went to Emerson.
Yeah, I went to Emerson.
Which is so funny. I posted on Facebook one night. I said, wow, I met another comedian from Emerson. And it's funny because Emerson, do you know Jen Kirkland went
of
there?
Of course.
And Jen was on the show and she hated it. She hated
it. No way.
She said the only good thing was, I think, Dennis Leary.
Oh, I fucking loved it. Oh, damn it.
Jeez.
Jesus.
Jeez, these Brazilians. Again. I opened for Dennis years ago in Philadelphia, and he was the nicest guy, but she said that was the only good thing, because I know Dennis taught some classes there, and she wasn't crazy about Emerson.
I was crazy about Emerson.
Really?
Yeah, it sculpted me completely.
There's so many. There's like Dan Borelli.
Dan Levy, Liza Schlesinger, Jay Leno.
I didn't know why Schlesinger went there.
Yeah.
I know, what's her name? I forget her name.
But it was like a big comedy
There's tons of you guys. Like you sit there, it's like college. When I saw Emerson, I said, oh, great, another person from Emerson. But see, it's just so funny. But okay, back to Sousa. So
Sousa.
I'm fascinated. I'm going to Google this when I get home. I'm going to like go on YouTube.
Sousa's in the documentary, the Senna one, because they were married. And it was like, they were like a big power couple, like a big Brad Angelina kind of Brazil couple.
What would they be called?
Sousa?
So you're watching the Sousa as a kid.
Yeah.
And now, at what point did you decide you wanted to act? I mean, you said you...
I wanted to be a dancer. That was my first thing. Yeah, and you watch these videos, and I'm terrible. Like, no intuition of rhythm whatsoever. Like, there's one where, like, it's like a little sexy dance, and you're supposed to put your hand on the chair, and I'm like, I keep switching my hands, like, I'm just so unsure of myself, and
that's
really
weird.
Skinny, and kind of, like, awkward, and then I just kept trying, and kept, you know, I was really dedicated to it, and then we moved to the States, and I think theater was kind of my way to, like, connect with people, because I didn't speak English.
Okay, when you, because you speak very good, so when you...
Oh, thank you.
No, but no, it's funny, because I've two of my friends, the Stephen Perry guy, they're from they're the weirdest mix. They're half Swedish, half Kazakhstanian or some.
Oh, I love that.
Whatever, but they speak amazing English. And I have two other friends from Norway who speak great English, and they learn later. Now, when you didn't speak a lick of English when you moved up
there?
Not
a lick. Well, you know, I had like penny, apple, you know, blue.
Right.
Like my dad's American. My grandfather was a diplomat, so he traveled the world, and my mom is like. Still to this day has a very thick accent, but I wish I still had an accent like hers.
Yeah, but it would suck for your comedy.
Oh yeah, it would.
Because it'd be like,
people would be laughing at me.
Yeah, they'd be like, what the hell is she saying?
Which kind of feels like what is happening right now. But
no, they laugh with you. They laugh with you. People laugh at me. They laugh with you. So you move up, you're a kid. Now, it must have been weird. I mean, you come up.
Awful.
Because I met a girl on jury duty.
Yeah.
I was in jury duty a few weeks ago, and I didn't have to do it, thank God. But we were talking, and she grew up in Mexico, and she said it was very weird when she came up, because she came up when she was five, and when she came up, she was in Mexican, Spanish-speaking classes, and then a year later, they just plopped her in English-speaking classes, which... You're not going to get, even if you're young. Now, I mean, because Charlottesville, Virginia is not. I mean, I've been to Virginia. It's not like this. Is there even Spanish people?
No,
like,
not the most educated. I mean, and people would be like, "Whoa, so Spanish?" And you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Brazil's actually the only country in South America where we speak Portuguese.
Okay.
And so there wasn't a lot of catering towards the Portuguese speaking people of Virginia. We were on ESL with this like horrible Russian woman who barely spoke English herself, and my sister and I would just really like kind of joke around and make fun of all the other Asian kids in the ESL class. And we were just really determined. And I think TV was kind of like my driving force. I would just watch these TV
shows.
What
were you watching? What were you watching at the time?
You know, all the stereotypical like 90210, and like I was really into like all those crappy shows. I watched Barney. I remember Barney like really vividly for some reason.
That's Barney?
Like, yeah, because I was like...
What 13-year-old watches Barney?
Well, because I was just so fascinated by it. It was so freaking weird.
It wasn't Sousa. Just so you know, my girlfriend's going to hate you, because I'm going to say, when I talk to her tonight or I text her, I'm going to go, it's all about Sousa, and she's going
to
ask...
No, it's Sousa. You have to get
Sousa.
It. Yeah.
Okay, if I meet friends later for a drink, I'm going to say Sousa, man. You guys know Sousa?
Yeah, Sousa's cool.
That's cool. So you're in Charlottesville, Virginia, and you're
and it's
you're,
horrible, by the way. It's miserable because
And it's different. I mean, I could guess, not speaking English, being Brazilian. If you were in, like, where I grew up, right near Philadelphia, or if you were in an East Coast city, it'd be much more acceptable. It'd be, and you would, because there's culture. But for you, it's like, they must have been like, what the hell?
People were just like, yeah, people were like smelling me. I remember the first day I walked into class, I had this cute little, like, leather backpack on and just crayons inside, because what else am I going to do? And this girl came up to me and smelled me. She smelled me.
See, that's just weird, because it's so funny, because I did a show in West Virginia years ago. And
that's way different, too.
Yeah, I mean, I worked with this comic, Robert Jeter, and he was African-American. And a guy actually walked up to the show, and Robert's smoking a cigar, and you could smoke in bars. And he's like, I've never met a black man before. And I was astonished at first someone would say that, and secondly that you're a grown man, like, and people come, and if I think they smell you, they don't think it's rude, they're just, they don't know what you are, and that's scary.
No, it was like bizarre. Yeah, it was like this bizarre world. I remember this kid asked me, like, what's it like to wear shoes? And I'm thinking, I'm coming from a country triple the size of the city. I mean, not even triple, like tons of time bigger. It was just crazy. The things I remember too, the first day we arrived to the States, it was snowing. We had never seen snow before. And all the kids in the neighborhood had kind of donated, you know, winter clothes to us. So I had this like Hornets jacket on and like, you know, just plastic over our feet. And I remember this girl came over and asked if we wanted to get hot cocoa. And my sister immediately like pushed her because coco means poop in Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
And so we thought she was trying to mess with us. And we're real tough Brazilians. You know, she knocked her down. But actually, interestingly enough, Brazil is so segregated within its own, you know, within its own culture that I actually had never gone to school with any black people at all. It was the first time. Yeah, it was the first time I was in public school, and it was the first time I had ever gone to school with black kids. It was awesome for me, you know, because finally, yeah.
It's so funny how segregation works. I mean, it's like in my high school, I'll be honest, my graduating class is 840 people. And I grew up in a very, very Jewish town. And I was the goyim, you know, I was the minority. And I honestly think in my class, we had like five African-American kids. And
crazy.
All their parents were doctors. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, and until I started doing comedy in Philly, I met kids from the hood, you know. But before that, I was like,
"People are so uneducated."
Every black guy lives in a nice house, you know. It was weird. So you're in Charlottesville, you're living with these rednecks, and did you start acting in high school? Did you? I mean,
yeah.
When was your first performance? Do you remember?
Yes. I would do. I played the lungs on a show called Pinocchio Don't Smoke That Cigarette.
Now, was that a local?
It was a DARE production for my school. And I barely spoke English. And my whole only line, they would go, Pinocchio, don't smoke that cigarette. And I would go, no, no, no.
Were you dressed up like as a lung?
I had a little green flower dress on, and I had a little sign over me that said lung, and I had a little like weird picture of a lung.
Now, did you have to audition for it?
Or did they just I did. And I wanted the part of Rachel Busybody, who was like the I don't remember what part. Actually, it wasn't Rachel. The girl who got it was Rachel. And I was so envious. And I think that was the first thing where it was like, you've got to get every part. Like my first drive actually.
Okay.
Started then, and then I started dancing pretty intensely.
Ballet,
okay. Yeah.
Now ballet is very hard. And my girlfriend did ballet when she was a kid, but she never could get to. There's a certain point you have to get to. A pleat, not pleat.
Point.
Point. She never made it. Did you make point?
I did. I started point, and
she couldn't make point.
I was good, but I was never great. I was actually more. I actually was better at making everybody laugh and kind of just being really social. I've always been very good at being social. And I can never really connect that to comedy until I went to Emerson. I went to Emerson. I couldn't get into any of the, there's all these like improv sketch groups.
Well, what made you choose Emerson? Just because you were in Virginia.
Virginia.
Acting. You want to be the next Shusha. And you sit there and then you just said, you go, okay, the college process. Did you know you wanted to go into?
I definitely wanted to go into musical theater. What had happened was I had been, every summer I'd been going to NYU for this, I started being, my last year of high school, I decided finally after doing plays there this ain't happening. This is not the place for me. So my parents agreed to let me be homeschooled so I could do theater and dance full time. So I would do like local productions, and then I would go to New York and do all these like summer camps and summer dance things. I was at Hofstra for a while in Long Island.
Hofstra is the home of Jeff Rulin. No, he went to Iona.
Oh, Iona,
I know Hofstra, though.
Yeah, lots of Jones Beach memories. And I really want to go to Cap 21, which is the musical theater department of NYU. And I applied along with a lot of people from the program. I had done the summer program 2 years in a row. I was like, I'm in. Didn't get in.
Were you crushed?
I mean, fell to my knees.
Didn't get waiting list, any of that?
No, because they only allow, I think, like 30 kids into the program. Bad, and like thousands of people audition.
I bet you're doing a lot better than all those jerks who got in right now.
Well, Cap 21 doesn't even really exist anymore the way it used to.
See, you were a trendsetter. You didn't want to go to Cap.
Totally.
You Emerson shaped. You Cap 21. You would have been a dancer. You would never been on Californication.
I know.
You would never been on Sullivan and Son, which you were. I saw.
My line got cut out.
No, it's funny because I saw your name in the thing and you play the hot girl.
Hot woman or something.
Roy Wood Jr. was just on last week.
Oh, I adore
Roy
him.
Roy was on. He's such a great guy. Yeah. We talk football. We ended up talking things. And Gary Canham has been on before.
Yeah.
And Mike Platt, he's one of the writers. I have to get in touch with him. But no, because I saw the hot girl.
My part was beautiful woman.
That's a compliment, though.
I'll take it.
I get cross-eyed bald guy. You think I like that?
I wish I had that. I would book more stuff.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, oh, yeah, because we need a hot chick with a fucking cross.
No, you don't.
I just cursed. So I've not cursed on the show in a year and a half, and I caught myself. But you,
I know. I can't believe I have it more.
It's the spirit of Shusha.
I know. I want to curse.
So you decided to go to Emerson.
I went to Emerson. I didn't get into like the theater school. I just went in general because I just wanted to get into school.
Now, what does when you're going through a theater school, what does your application entail? Do you have to send, like, do you have to go up and audition?
Okay. You have to go and audition.
So you have to go up there.
We went everywhere. Okay. We went to Ithaca, Syracuse, Boston Conservatory, and the audition process is horrible. I mean, because, you know, you want this so bad, and you're kind of the big fish in your town, little town. You know, at that point, I'd been doing all the local productions.
So you were sort of like a local celebrity.
I was working, yeah.
Isn't it weird? Like when I went back to my high school reunion, my 30 years, I'm getting old. I'll be 50. I look good for 50.
You look great.
I'll be 50. Thank you, my friends. Yeah. You look like old. You're old.
I don't think you look 50 at all, man.
Thank you. I'll be 50 at the end of October. But I went to my reunion, and people follow Cooper Talk, and it's because, and I do, and I've been blessed that I get to hang out with very cool people. I mean, you know, Mark Valley, everyone's, oh, he's so hot. Mark's a friend. Cato Kalin, you know.
I know Cato. Cato's
great.
My first job in LA was with Cato.
Cato was my first big, when I started out, my first two big guests were Cato and Darren Carter.
Did he get his braces off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see Cato all the time because he's friends with a good friend of mine, Joff. His cousin was on Big Brother, and he's friends with him. Weird thing. But so I go back, and people are like, these guys are millionaires. They still live in our hometown, but they're financial wizards.
See, this makes me want to curse.
And it's like, I sit there and I go, like, oh my God, we listen to your show. And I'm like, oh my God, you live in a mansion. I live in a townhouse in Burbank. I said, but at least my girlfriend's hot and your wife's fat.
We're living
and
life.
That's good. But it's just amazing. Like if you went back to Charlottesville now, you probably are like.
I never go back. I hated high school. I go back to visit my parents. It's a lovely, beautiful, creative town. Now I love it, but I just
go
hated
back.
It.
You know, I honestly started going back for the last year and a half. I've been bicoastal. I've lived east, and I've been going. And my girlfriend went to college with me, but we really don't know each other.
Yeah.
And what's that? It's cool.
I'm sorry. I just had a little beep.
She got a text. And said, "Stop cursing, Shosha." You should go back more because you know I didn't go back for many years, and my parents moved to Delaware, which I didn't.
Yeah.
When my father passed away, I went down there, and I was like, "God, this Delaware sucks." But I went back to my hometown, and you should just because you know when you're older and you go back, it's like it, and they change some. You sit there and you go, "What amazes me is like the big Garden State Racetrack is closed, but then like this little Yangtze River." Chinese place has been around for 40 years in this strip mall where everything else is closed is still open and you should go back a lot more. You should perform down there.
I know. I've been trying to do some things.
Isn't Charlie Goodnight's down there?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, the Charlie Goodnight's was where Ken Jeong got to start. That's in Charlotte.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, Virginia, I used to work for the Fletchers. They booked the comedy clubs in Williamsburg and Richmond.
I got to get that. Yeah, I got to get that information from
How far are you from Newport News?
That's like a 6-hour drive, but Richmond is about an hour.
Okay,
and I would love to be in Richmond.
My sister lives in Richmond.
No way.
And my mom is in a old folks home in Richmond.
I dig Richmond.
Because I produced to be a comedy club at Matt's British Pub in the Shaku Slip, which was awesome. Because you go and they put you at the beautiful hotel. And this is back when I would feature, and features still got paid headliner money back then.
Not now.
And it was great because you would sit there and you like just walk around, and Richmond is funny because my mom is in this nursing home, which I hope she has she has Alzheimer's. But it sucks. You won't remember the place. But I mean, it's like $5,000 a month. And she sneaks out. She snuck out like not on purpose.
She's
like,
naughty,
huh? She didn't like the toilet paper, so she got some other lady, and they found her at the market, like down the street, and they have no wallets. I told my sister. I said, you don't give mom a credit card because I don't trust these people working these homes. They'll rip them off. But you should go back and perform there. You'd be like a star.
I know. I've been telling myself really to organize it, but my PA people don't send me out for stuff because I'm just a feature.
Yeah, but
I gotta get out there though.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what? Here's the deal. Feature. You know what? I mean, honestly, I just go back when I perform. I don't perform much more. I just perform just for fun.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I headlined B clubs back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know what? In those clubs, if you have credits, you just go, you have stiletto.
No, I have enough credits.
You have credits. And you can do 45 minutes.
Oh, I would die. I miss my parents so much, and I only go home for Christmas. It would be like a dream. And my dad is a big, big comedy fan.
Is he really? Now, who does he like? Does he like your act?
He loves my act. He's the president of my fan club. And they're really cool. I mean, my name is Jade, obviously, so they're both hippies. And but my dad was like total reason why I got into stand up. I think. I mean, I grew up,
Tell me why. That's interesting. Why?
It's
why?
Cheesy, but he was really into like the Andrew Dice Clays and the Cheech and Chongs and the SNLs.
See, and that's so funny because that's Cheech and Chong. I remember my older brother would play the wedding album.
Yeah, where they have the girls with the bags over their heads.
And I listened to that, and it's so funny. And looking back now, and I've talked about this like with Carlin and stuff, like Toledo Window Box. I didn't know what that was. I was seven.
I didn't know what it was either.
And I remember I was me and my friend Mark Esposito used to ride our bikes up to a record store, and we'd go around they used to traffic circles in New Jersey. We wouldn't tell our parents we're going there because parents were like, you can't go drive your bike around the circle.
Yeah.
And I remember I found a Lenny Bruce album for $1.99, and it's so funny, like what 8-year-old is getting listening to Lenny Bruce? And it's just so weird. I look back at it, and I think the album's at my sister's house in Richmond.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. So your dad liked the classics.
Yeah, and I hated it as a kid. I was like, turn this off.
Really?
I've kind of come to it in therapy that it was like an attention thing. Like I wanted my dad's attention, so like I wanted to be funny all the time, And I remember just staring at that album, the Cheech and Chong one, and just thinking it was so funny.
It's so funny with the bags. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're like in a limo.
It's like the cover is like cut out.
And they're like connected or something. Yeah. It's very bizarre, but yeah, Cheech is working on a film now with a good friend of mine that just got into Sundance, so that's amazing.
Oh, cool.
But all that stuff, and he was just, it's great because I'm a bit of a blue performer, and I like that kind of stuff, and so it's good to not feel scared that my parents will see something that I post.
That's good. That's like, for me, I mean, on radio, I don't use the F word. I use the F word so much. Like, I mean, on stage.
Believe me, I'm controlling myself.
I
hate it. I curse so much.
For me, well, on the radio, I kick into my radio mode. But for me on stage, I just drop F-bombs. It's so funny. One of my friends posted on Facebook. He said, oh, yeah, I saw Cooper last week in Cherry Hill, my hometown. And he goes, we made a bet. I get $1 for every F-bomb he dropped. He paid for my drinks and my cover.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, I'm doing a 35-minute set. But see, for me, I don't use it. I don't use it harshly. I don't go like that person's a
right.
I'm like, so this F and
me too. I just cruise it. Yeah, I cruise the F.
Watching the Eagles game last night, I was sitting there going, my neighbors.
That's
like,
a different.
But I use it as an adjective. I don't use it as a verb. And I think that's the thing. I think in comedy, a verb, if you use it as an adjective, and
I do use it as an adjective. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And that's a good. Yeah. You don't sit there and go that effer or
so I'm effing a chick, or I'm effing a guy.
So I'm effing this hot girl.
Right. It's one of my jokes.
Use it as an adjective, but it's that's the thing. So your dad liked comedy.
So now I'm in college, and
what's your major? Because you said you auditioned, but you didn't get in. You didn't get in for the arts.
I went in, and then I auditioned within the school, and I got into the acting program. And acting was really specific there. They did not have anything for film, although they had this great film school. So I decided to make my major specifically acting for film. So it was like me and two other people who did that. So it was exciting because every time somebody would make a student film, I was in it.
Okay.
And so I got to work a lot with great people who are now people in the business,
like
you know.
Who? Like who?
Well, my friend Landon, Zach Heim, he's one of the guys who selects the films for Sundance. Okay. I've Lance Drake, he's a director out here, does music video. You know, just random.
So you were working with guys who, like you, were starting younger, young kids.
Yeah, and they'd be like, oh, will you do this movie? You have to be in a bikini in the snow. I'd be like, yes, I'll do it. You know?
Did you like wearing a bikini in the snow?
I told you, not like the hot girl things. Not for me. I'm like, can I make this funny? They're like, no, what the
doing? But you know what? You're good looking. You have to sit there and deal with it. No, because like me, it's like I'm not going to get a call for like a Brad Pitt role. But you deal with it. I mean, I sit there. You know, it took me a long time. Yeah, but you know, it took me a long time to deal with. Like, I'm blind in one eye, legally blind, and it took me a long time to sit there. And I used to hate when people were going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, double vision. This kid Paul Leeds. And now he's drinking himself to death. And I saw him at a bar one night. And bought him a shot because I said, F you call me double vision. But I learned to deal with it. And I saw that. So you know what? It doesn't change me. And it's things you have to do. And it's like me. It's like, is my girlfriend beautiful? Yes. Is my first wife beautiful? Yes. Have I always dated hot girls? Yes. So I said, it hasn't held me back. But you're good looking. So you're going to have to take those rules, though.
I'll take it.
I mean, if they say, get in a bikini, get in the snow. Do it, for Christ's sake.
I'll do it.
I'm going to be your manager.
I've been in Bud Light commercials and
have you been in a Bud Light commercial?
I have.
What commercial? What was it?
It was a long time ago. It was for a Bud Light cruise, and they actually put me in a Bud Light box as a costume.
I think I saw that on one of your...
Yeah, I put a photo up. So, it was ridiculous.
But it paid.
It did pay. Initially, they were like, you're going to be in this shark costume. And I was like, What? Dang it. And then they were like, actually, no, it's a bikini. I was like, oh, crap. And then they were like, no, actually, it's a Bud Light box.
So you'd rather be in a Bud Light box than a bikini?
I'd rather be in a Bud Light box than most things, yeah.
See, that says a lot about you. You're a really cool person because most girls would be like, I want to be in a... I mean, I was at the Jersey... I was in Belmar for my college reunion a few weeks ago in Belmar, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I saw girls on the beach who should not be wearing damn bikinis. I mean, these fat...
Oh, I love it. I think everybody should be in a bikini.
No, I was in Santa Monica. I took the lovely Joanne to Santa Monica the other day. We saw a fat guy in a Speedo with a cowboy hat. I don't want to see that.
I do.
Which, do you really?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Brazil. The beaches must have been awesome in Brazil.
Oh, everyone's naked. That's another thing. Like, I've always been a very naked person.
That's so weird. You're a naked person, but you won't wear a bikini on film.
Well, just because it's like I don't want to be that girl.
Would you do a topless scene?
For the right thing, I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it was tasteful.
Californication asked me, and I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah, because David, he's banging everyone on that show.
Yeah. He actually rejects me on the show, which is great.
You get rejected?
Yeah.
Wait, come on. You know what's funny about him is, and that's one of my man crushes, him, Bradley Cooper.
But you have no idea.
Cooper, and Dennis Leary are my man crushes. That's the three. And because they're all hot. But what's funny is, in that show, and I can see, first of all, in interviews, he played basketball for University of Princeton.
Yeah, they still play on the lot.
And what's amazing is he's like 53, and he's banging everybody. He's banging these young girls in that show, but he can get them. That's the thing. He's the company. It's like and that character Hank Moody is like one of the best characters. He's such a dick, but you love him. Like he screws everything up. He's the most dysfunctional asshole. Like if I do that stuff, I would be like everybody like. Coop, man, you started a fight at a party.
Together.
But him, it's like you love him.
You love him. I mean, and Tom, the creator of the show, created
Tom Schrone.
Tom Vrab. Vrab. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
The creator. He wrote everything. He's just incredible. And they are buddies, you know. And at the rap party, they both played guitar on stage.
How do they ask you to go topless? What do they say?
Well, there was rumors. Okay, so Tom was on set, and I'm like,
we're gonna get to Californication a little bit. I just want to hear.
Oh
this.
Yeah. So
no,
basically,
this fascinates me.
Yeah. So he basically goes, you know. And we're all joking around about how we all gonna eventually have to make out with David, right? And I'm like, No, I didn't make out with
him. Is he still married to Tia Leone?
I think they're in the process of a divorce.
Because I know he once had to go to sex counseling.
I'm not sure, though. I don't know about him.
He went to sex counseling. He's like...
I don't know about that stuff.
Oh, no, I read that.
Oh, whatever.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, so he is Hank Moody.
I don't know.
No, but he's banging everybody.
Not that I know of. Okay. He didn't bang any of my friends. But
your friends don't like to wear bikinis. That's why you didn't bang it.
I mean, they would bang him, but...
So what happened?
Basically, they were like, oh, and then... I mentioned, like, I wouldn't mind it, you know? And then the next day I was in the casting office and the casting director was like, hey, you know, there's rumors that there's going to be a makeout scene with you and David. And I freaked out because automatically I thought, oh, no, they're going to want me to be topless.
Have you ever made out with anyone on camera?
Yes. Yeah, with Steve Ranazzisi, actually. We do a web series together.
You know what? I me and him have gone back and forth. I got to get him on the show.
He's great.
He said he wanted to do it. He's
friends. He lives in New York. And
I know,
so it's hard.
Yeah, yeah, no, because he's
in Long Island.
He's friends with Maz Gibrani.
Yeah,
and so Maz was on, and Maz introduced us an email. That's so nice. And we've gone back and forth, and it's like he's out here, but I guess he's probably gone. But he shot the league.
He comes in, shoots nonstop, and then goes back because he has two kids.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, because he's beautiful.
He's friends with my friend Joe Matarese.
Yeah, him and his wife and I are doppelgangers. I mean, to the point of for years, people were like, "Do you know you look identical to Tracy?"
That's cool.
And then finally, we met, and we were like, "Oh my god!"
And if my wife was, and my girlfriend was from North Hollywood, you could pass your daughter. But
I know.
She's not.
You should meet Tracy. You just look at her photo of her. It's bizarre.
So you made out with Steve Redson.
So yeah, we have a web series together, and we made out on that. But it wasn't awkward. It's just work, you know.
It's a California case. So they said we were going to make out with them.
So there's rumors we're going to make out. I freak out. I call my agent. I'm like, you have to make sure that I'm not topless. I don't want to be topless yet. I want to be topless when my boobs are worth $1 million. And so they called, and then my management called, and they were like, "This is too much work. We don't want Jay to make out with anybody. This is crazy." And so they actually made it that I come on to him, in a very kind of funny, weird way, and he rejects me. He's like, "Absolutely not."
Why? What the hell? I've seen some of these girls. You're cuter than some of the girls.
No, you know, because I was a funny character, and I was actually really proud of it, because the first thing that people ask, obviously, every time I say I'm on Californication, they're like, "Oh, did you get naked?"
When does season start?
January.
Okay.
Cause everybody watch.
And it's so funny, because my girlfriend doesn't watch it. My girl's moving out, so that's when I relegate her to upstairs. I go, "Honey, go upstairs."
I think it's fantastic.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing.
I mean, Heather Graham is on the season.
Okay. Does
Michael Imperioli.
Herself?
No, she plays, I don't want to give up anything, but
Michael Imperioli is
incredible.
Awesome.
He's, watching him act is just gives me goosebumps. He's
now
just the best.
Is, what's his name still on? His manager.
Oh, yeah. Alan? Or no, I'm sorry.
The bald guy.
What's his name? Oh, my God.
What is it? What's his name?
I can't believe his first name is escaping me right now. This is crazy. I just saw him the other day for ADR. Hold on. He's amazing. Oh my God.
What are you texting?
Evan
Handler.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He's incredible. He's so funny.
That show is so.
And then
so
Brandon, good. Brandon T. Jackson is on this season as well, and he's super funny. Oliver, he just did Project X. The little kid in Project X is on there. The people that I got to work with, I couldn't even believe it.
So let's go back, because I that's the thing, when you understand what Cooper talking, I get very distracted. I go and someone.
No, I like it. You're an ADD super like me.
It's like a boat, and you get on a boat, and it goes off scale, and you're worried. But then I bring it back, and then that's a whole show, and then people get used to it. And that's why Wendy Lehman comes on a lot, and she's like, "God, I just love talking to you because you're all over the place."
I know you're like me.
But okay, so you're. Well, we're going to flashback, people, to Shusha. So you're in Emerson.
I'm at Emerson, and I'm doing films.
You're acting all these things. You're getting all these parts.
Yeah, and they have all these, sketch and comedy troupes. And I'm like, "Oh, I want to be part of these." And I just keep auditioning, and I cannot get into any of these goddamn troupes, right?
Because
they're all friends, and it's all, political.
Isn't it clicky? I don't know,
super clicky.
Even out here, I look at I judge clickiness by Facebook. I judge it by, let's say I post something, I tweet something, and I tweet some funny stuff, and it's because I'm using my act. I'll get likes from my friends back east. But comics never like it. But then a comic, who has clicky will post something that's awful, and they'll get 15, 18, 20 likes.
Definitely. It's all political.
And it's clicky, and it's crap, because I'm not a jerk, but there's 85% of people out here aren't funny. And I'm going to say it straight out. I see crappy acts. When I started doing, I got out of comedy for a very long time. When I came back, people gave the attitude, comics were cool, And then I'd sit there and I go, Downtown Comedy Club. This guy was an asshole. And I just said, I walked off stage, I smoked him. I did over, I used to do over 400 paid shows a year. So I was constantly in the road.
Yeah.
And I just walked off and I was like, "Follow that asshole." And the guy died. And I actually turned it up a notch. And I don't do that. I turned it up a notch. Because there's so many people who aren't funny out here. And they're just dicks, though.
Then you add the dick and then it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like they're not even cool. So these people weren't letting you in the groups because you
couldn't get into
clicking.
Them.
So, what do you do?
So I went to the Improv Asylum in Boston, which is the professional improv theater, and I got hired there.
See, so you got hired by professionals, but not in college. It shows you, and then probably the kids in the comedy group, or whatever, probably thought you were a bitch because she They were envious, probably.
They didn't
probably.
Care. No, they're all working out here. They're all doing great. I mean, they were all cool. It was never personal. I would get far, and then I just couldn't make it. And so then I got into that, and then I started doing my own kind of, like, industrial work. Like, I did a lot of, like, English as a second language stuff, where I would, like, hi, Mom, like, really slow kind of a thing.
Because you speak fluent.
And then I
say something in Portuguese.
O que você quer falar em português? I just said, what do you want me to say?
I noticed this, and my roommate from college is from Hong Kong, and he did the same thing. Whenever people speak, your voice drops. He'd be like, his name is Benny. He'd be like, hey, yeah. And he'd call, and he's like, one time he's in a shower. I go, yo, Benny, phone, I'll call back. I'm like, it's your mom. I don't know how to speak Cantonese. And then he gets out of the shower with the shampoo, and he's like, hold your hand, and I'm like, no, so say something again.
Porque o meu português sai numa diferente parte da minha voz. Like,
what did you just say?
My Portuguese is in a different part of my voice. Like,
okay.
I actually lose my voice a lot because I force a lot when I speak English. It's in a different part of my throat.
Really?
It's in a lower register when I'm in it's actually very comfortable to speak in Portuguese, although I'm not very articulate because my vocabulary is of like a 14-year-old. Right. But whenever I see some Brazilians, like, it's just such a relief. Like, ah, oh, a gente pode falar em português. You know, it's just like this, like.
Well, it's a very sexy language.
Yeah.
I think it's a very lustful. It sounds like someone could say, you know, donde el autobus, you know, and they go,
onde está o bus.
Exactly. So you're doing the industrial. So
I'm doing all these industrials, and then I stumble upon this small TV station outside of Boston called XYTV. And I ended up getting my own show. It was very exciting. It was called Secret Lives.
What now? What kind of was it like?
Really cheesy.
What would it compare to, like, here? What station? Would it be like, public access?
Like a public Boston state. Nothing really compares to it. I mean, not that I know of, but it was cool. This show, I got this job hosting this show called Secret Lives. And it was like, three people are telling stories. Which one of them is telling a lie? Like, really cheesy. But I learned so much. I mean, I learned how to use a teleprompter. I learned how to use, you know, a thing in my ear. I learned how to interview people, and it was like really far. So I would go to school, and I worked, and I did this hosting thing.
What did you do?
Bartended and waited tables.
So you have a full schedule. You get school.
Full schedule, yeah. And I just loved it. I loved it so much. And I was an avid stand-up watcher. Like, I would watch Eliza and go like, how is she doing this? And then I moved. Emerson has this program out here in LA. I don't know if you've seen the new building on Sunset. Oh, my, it's gorgeous.
Sunset and what?
Tamarind, like Vine area. And it's just this beautiful building. They do a program where you come out to Los Angeles for a semester, and you have to get an internship, and they have, like, you know, you have business of acting classes.
That's cool.
It's beautiful. It's
awesome.
It's a great transitional way to get into LA.
Because it is very scary, especially when you're younger. Like, as you get older, like, I was in San Diego for many years, and then I came out here.
I love San Diego.
Me and my ex-wife lived in the Gas Lamp, and it was just
I love San Diego.
We had a sweet loft.
Downtown, it's so nice.
We lived on Third and Island, and we had 40-foot ceilings, this loft right on the
gorgeous
corner.
Gorgeous, yeah.
And she wasn't such a bitch. It would have been really a great time to live there.
Yeah, why are you such a bitch?
But San Diego was great. But when I got divorced, I moved up here. Actually, I was back and forth for a while. And it's easy when you're older because you know what's going on in life.
Right.
Like, when I got out of college, of course, everyone in college usually goes back home or, you know.
Right.
And luckily, where I grew up, it was so close to Philly. So for me to do comedy, it was a hop, skip, and a jump to Philly. It was 10 minutes. You know? And then back then, we had a great, you know, Paul Tompkins and Adam McKay and Keith Robinson and Todd Glass. And Todd was... used to be the neighbors of my high school sweetheart.
That's so funny. He's like, what? What do you want?
He was a little before me. He started a comedy, but he started when he was 16.
Yeah, he's just brilliant.
I mean, I saw him when he was just, he would piss audiences off. To this day, I think the best comic with an audience is Todd. Because honestly.
Oh, he just knows himself so well,
he would never really do an act. He would just mess with the crowd, except he had the cue the music. But
yeah,
I mean, he's young. But so for me, it was cool. But no, for you, for Emerson, did you come out here for that program?
Yeah, I mean, when I chose Emerson, I knew they do it in a broad program where you go to, you live in Amsterdam. Actually, you live in Vell, which is this tiny little town outside of Amsterdam. Yeah, you live in a castle. It's crazy. I mean, you just basically do drugs and like see art, and it's beautiful. And so yeah, I knew I was coming out here, and then I had like an internship at UDK, which is Ulrich Dotson Kritzer, which is like a big casting office. They did like Untucked or Nip Tuck and like all those Dexter, like huge shows. And I learned so much just from the people that weren't doing well that I would watch. And I mean, I remember back then just being like, just endlessly calling people, endlessly sending my stuff out, just the amount of work, you know, and people don't know. People are like, oh, can you hook me up with this thing? It's like, no, fuck you. Sorry. Go do your own hustle.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know,
yeah.
I've been, you know, and then I actually got my first job out here. My friend was interning at National Lampoon, which was a big deal for me because, of course, my dad. And
well, National Lampoon was, you know, when it was amazing.
It was huge. Yeah. The magazine was like a big deal for me. And they were looking for a host for a show that was kind of like a Tosh.0. And I'd just been hosting so much. And I booked the job. It was my first job I ever got paid out here. And I met this guy named Sandy Danto, who I think you know, who is this local comic. And at the time, he was
who?
Just Sandy Danto. He kind of looks like John Belushi. He opens for Polly on the Road.
Okay.
And he was like, you should try stand-up. And I'm like, I'd rather kill a baby. He was like, no, honestly, you really should. And I remember I, you know, went to the Comedy Store that night, and I just had this weird sense of familiarity. I really did. Like, I was just kind of walking around feeling like, this is my place. And that night, we went to see Adam Ray, who's there, and Chris Rock just showed up. And it was just like this thing. And then the next day, I went to the open mic, and it was just a bunch of, like, homeless dudes. So I was like, I got this.
Right.
I can do this. And then I got totally addicted and ended up getting a job at the Comedy Store. And I bartended there for about 4 years.
You knew who was funny is you knew who was on the show, and she had the same experience. Eleanor
Kerrigan. Oh, Eleanor Kerrigan is one of my idols.
The funny thing about Eleanor is I was doing a show at Parks Casino in Ben Salem. It's, oh, yes, I followed
yeah.
up to him. And
oh, she's a total Philly chick.
And, oh, she's so... And
yeah.
She... No, my girlfriend said... Do you know a girl named Eleanor Kerrigan? And I'm like, I know the name. And she goes, a guy I'm friends with used to date her.
No
and,
way.
And they worked, my girlfriend worked with him. So when my girl, I always do, like my girlfriend likes Sullivan and Son. So when she was yeah. out last week, I had Roy Wood. When my girlfriend loves Seinfeld, so I had Steve Scroven, who was
oh,
one of
amazing.
The writers,
yeah.
come on. And so I booked Eleanor for the week she was
yeah.
here. And Eleanor said the same thing. She was a waitress.
Yeah, she was. She was a waitress
and
at the
Comedy
Store.
She had never
store.
Done comedy, but her godfather comes up in Pennsylvania. I sent her a message. He's like, yeah, you know my real Italian. Like, there's,
of course.
They're, she's not even Italian, but they're South Philly.
Yeah, she's like, I'm my ball yeah, showing? Yeah, yeah, like,
and
that's
she, he's like, hey, you know my goddaughter. And I go, Eleanor Kerrigan. I said, Eleanor was just on my show. So I sent her a message. She's like, oh, yeah, my dad, my stepdad, whatever he is, godfather. He's like, oh, I saw you. Said you were really funny. And I was like, it's just weird. But she had never done comedy until she was
no,
working
she,
there.
Yeah, she was like my inspiration. Because it's so crazy the way that it works. Like, Mitzi is still like kind of reigning over it,
I've never really been in there. I did the belly room a few times.
I don't
hang out clubs.
It's very specific. You know, like, dudes work the door. Dudes do this. Dudes do that. And if you want to be a female comic and you want to work there, you have to be a waitress. And I was like, absolutely not. You call me when a bartender leaves. And luckily, like, the bartender at the time was like a drunk and she got arrested or something, and I got a job. Just really lucky. But yeah, Eleanor worked there, and then, you know, of course, met Andrew. They were engaged for a while,
right.
And then she went into comedy, and she's just brilliant. She opens for him now, and she's very sweet, and I love seeing her. It's kind of like a little piece of home whenever I see her.
But it's cool. I like about her is also she is, I mean, there's certain, when you grow up in the area, like in that tri-state area, there's a certain kindred. I mean, it's like, there's just, you love the Eagles, you know, Geno's and Pats, you know, Yingling beer, you know, there's certain things. It's like, you know, and like, you knew the Vet. I mean, everyone has a story of the Vet or the Spectrum, you know, seeing Springsteen. I saw Springsteen so many times.
Oh, that's great.
And that's the thing. You automatically, like, I was at Trader Joe's the other day, and this guy walked by, this brother, he's got an Eagles shirt. I go, yo, man, he's in Springfield. I said,
yeah.
All right. And it's just, there's that kindred.
That connection,
it's something that people, when you, like, when I've been going back a lot, what I've noticed is, like, through the day of the Eagles games, everyone is sitting there, and there's everyone, like, wearing Eagle shirts. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, some old Jewish lady will go Birds! You know, it's like, and there's just that thing. That's Eleanor. That, I mean, she grew up in South Philly.
She, yeah.
And her dad owned a typewriter store.
Yeah, he still does, I think.
I mean, who buys them now? It's so funny. People, these businesses have been around for so long that they...
Yeah, she talks about it on stage. I love it. My dad doesn't know anything about anything. But she was like a real inspiration because
so
I would be around.
And you worked at the comics. And then
yeah.
Did
so
you
I
start
bartended.
Stage time?
Yeah, so you would, you know, in trade of work, you know, you'd make money barely, but, and then you'd get stage time. And I was just, they would rip me apart. I mean,
the crowd or the
guys that work there, you know, because it's all like kind of a frat house. And they would just like, I remember I would get on stage to do my, you know, open mic spot, and they would just be throwing water bottles at me, you know, empty ones and like wet paper towels, and they'd get on the side mic and go like, why is that funny, Jay? wasn't funny, you know, and I just, I would never show it, but I would go home like.
But that's dickish.
No, that's the story, you know, it's like a big frat house. I mean,
but still, everyone should support, you know, unless you suck.
No,
my feeling is this, support comics unless comics sucks. If you go on stage, my only thing is, if you go on stage on the Ice House in the main room and you don't get laughs, get out of the
Yeah, you suck.
Business.
Don't ever do comedy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but
kill yourself.
Thing, I've always think, you know, I mean, we would never heckle acts. We just, They suck.
I feel like they heckle me because they love me and they believe
in
me. You know, like I was one of the guys.
You,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. Like I feel like if they thought I sucked, they would just be like, "I just see your set and get out of here."
Okay.
But yeah, it was really tough. I was so broke, and that was my job. But you know, I would just sit and watch these comics and go like, one day.
Who were some of your favorites back then?
Whitney Cummings. Okay. I would watch her work and just. I mean, I still adore everything she's done. She's just a mogul, you know. But I would like sit and watch her and just like, oh, she makes it look so easy and. I mean, Sebastian was like one of my favorites at the time too. He's just so good.
Sebastian?
You don't know Sebastian? You absolutely know. Is he not a Philly guy? He's an Italian guy.
Oh, he has a long last name.
Yeah, it's really wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. So Sebastian was one of my.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, because his management was sort of. Pricks when I tried to get him on the show.
Oh no, Al Madrigal was like one of my favorites. You know, and of course Bobby Lee, and he's the first guy that ever took me on the road.
Bobby Lee.
Yeah.
I used to, when I lived in San Diego, I had been out of the business, I got back in. We used to play a place in Pacific Beach called Fibber McGee's.
And oh, it was God, me, PB, kill
me,
yourself.
Him, Gary Owen, Dante, Vicky Barbalock.
Oh, I love Vicky. Do you know Lou too? Her husband, he's a piano player at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
At the time, she was married to a carpenter or something.
We don't care about it.
And we used to that, and then we used to do the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Yeah.
But then Fred Byrne, the guy who passed, he limped. He was crippled.
Yeah.
He opened another club right down the street. But I worked with Bobby, and Bobby was funny. That's when Bobby and Bobby. Back then, Bobby got laughs because of his hair, and he knew that, and he had no problem with that, and that was cool. And he's like, you know, I get laughs because of my hair, but he's developed. Everything I see him, and he's just so funny.
He's a genius. He's the best audiences in the world,
and he's just like a great character actor. He's so good. But I remember he used to do like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm not going to say the N word.
Yeah,
and he goes, you look like Arnold.
Yeah,
and I don't know if he still does that bit.
No, he doesn't do that bit anymore.
But it was so funny, and he was funny. So you were working with him. So you're at the Comedy Store. So now. You're doing stand-up. Now, during this time, are you booking any acting gigs?
Little ones here and there. Yeah, like hosting gigs.
What happened with National Lampoon?
They were laundering a bunch of money, so they just...
So the show didn't last a long.
Actually, you know what? After being like there for a year, Cato Kaelin took over my job.
Cato took over your job?
And it's funny because the first comic I ever had on the show was Darren Carter, the party starter. So those were the two guys I worked with in comedy too, which is funny.
Darren has a picture of Stephen Perry from Journey on his wall. He texted me last night because I said this guy looks. I ran on Facebook, at Stephen Perry, because that's the one thing when I interview people, I go, oh yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And my one thing is I always do. I'll put people that don't look like anyone. Like one time I saw a guy with spiky hair. I said, no, I'm hanging out with Guy Fieri.
Oh, that's really
like,
funny.
Yeah. Or I do. I'll put pictures of someone like you probably don't remember John Waite. He sang the song Missing You.
Okay.
But I put a picture of him and I said Jamie Lee Curtis's first headshot, and people are like, oh. Yeah. And then some people go, well, that's John Waite. I'm like, that's the joke, asshole.
Yeah.
So you're working the Comedy Store.
Working the Comedy Store, taking every crappy job imaginable. I worked at a bar mitzvah company for a long time.
What did you do at the bar mitzvah company?
I would dance. So you know, we dance with a kid and then dance with the uncles. Be like, come on, you know.
They hire you like.
I worked for a company for a long time. They would actually fly me out to Detroit all the time. Party Lane. Everybody uses them. They're great.
They would fly you.
Yeah, it was like a big deal. We had a bunch of dancers, and we go and
they
dance.
Put you up.
Yeah, they were great. I mean, it was a super fun job. I mean, I did all catering. I would meet people through catering, and I did a bunch of crappy commercials, industrials. God, you name it.
But
I
you were
did
working.
It.
That's that thing. I mean, you know, you, looking back now, you say it's crappy, but you were blessed enough to be getting work.
I was very lucky. Yeah, and I would do Ashley Furniture commercial. Those were my first commercial I ever booked, and then. I finally was like, you know, it's time. I have to quit this place. Because I remember asking Whitney, what do I do? And she's like, quit this place. And I was like, but I can't, you know. And I quit. And I was totally broke. I'd just gotten out of a 5-year relationship. Totally on the streets. And I booked my first national commercial for McDonald's.
Well, what was the commercial?
It was, we're all in a room, like, putting our credit cards into, like, a credit card roulette type of a thing. And then this guy wins, and he's like, yes, I'm going to McDonald's. We're like, he gets that he's paying for it, right? It's really stupid. But the director's just a good buddy of mine still. And then ever since then, I just started booking commercials. And
what are some of your commercials? I didn't know you were doing a lot of commercials.
Oh, yeah. For a while, I did a bunch.
Like, what are some of them? I'm going to YouTube this stuff. Because I always get fascinated by my guests. Because I always find out stuff with my guests. Like, I don't even know you. And a lot of my guests, I don't even know. And I that's one thing, when you talk to someone for an hour, you actually become, to me, you become friendly. Because it's an hour, and it says,
well, you know, like, my whole life now.
Yeah, this isn't like a bit where you come in and go, do bits. Because my one rule is comics, if you do a bit, get out.
Whole thing has been a bit.
I know, it's actually, you're not even from Brazil.
I'm like a Jew. Yeah, I'm just some Jewish girl.
So what is, I want to check out some of the commercials, because it always cracks me up. Because I always cracks me up. Like, I saw, like, my friend Corey is a bartender down at Volcanoes on an NFL Network commercial.
Oh yeah, those are good. And I'm like, NFL ones are good.
But it's a buyout. It's not
National.
But it's cool. So my girlfriend always cracks up. Like, we were watching Castle the other day, and Jason Stewart was on the show. She always cracks up. She goes, we can't get a day without TV. One of your guests hasn't been on, she loves it because she's not from the entertainment world.
Yeah.
You know? But
I hate watching TV because I see every commercial is a person I know or a person I've auditioned with.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the other commercials you've done?
So McDonald's was my first big one, and then my other
that was national. So you got you got the national money.
I finally got to move into my own place. It was like a big deal.
Are you single?
I was single at the time. I'm actually dating a comic right now. We've been together for a while.
Who's the comic?
His name's Nick Rutherford.
I know the name. I think it's so funny. You're friends with these people on Facebook, but I don't.
Yeah.
I've never met him.
No, he's great.
Oh, that's cool. Good. No, because Danielle Stewart dates a comic too.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Jason
great.
Thibault.
You know,
that's cool.
No, they don't still date, do they? Are they back together?
Well, she was on the show a year ago, and she was still with him, I guess.
Oh, yikes. I don't know if they're back together.
Maybe they broke up. I don't know. Do you know Danielle?
Of course. She's wonderful. She taught me some BJ tips that I still take with me to this day.
I met Danielle, God, and I didn't know this until she used to work for Tollins Robin Management, who rep my buddy Joe Matarese, who took my apartment over outside New York City.
Yeah.
We went to the same high school. And I ran into them when I waited tables at Gordon Biersch, her and this other girl, Callie. And we ended up at my friend's place up on the hill on this party. And it was a pool party, and she'd just gotten in her underwear and things.
Yeah.
But I booked her. I used to do a show called Cooper's Angels. It was all female comics.
Oh,
Floppers.
That sounds really familiar.
But the problem was, my problem was that I would not put a crappy
who's that?
What was it? Oh, it was. But I met her. What was that?
It's like, all female shows. That's the sound that you get.
Boom, boom, boom. But I met her. I took it. We went to the party, and we were sitting there at Flappers, and I knew of her name. Someone said she's very funny, so I booked her.
She's great.
And she goes to me. She goes, you know what? She goes, I met you like 10 years ago. I go, what? She goes, you and your buddy took me up to this pool party, and I was like, oh my God, and it didn't correlate to
me.
Is
that funny?
It's just small world.
It is such a small world.
So what are some of your commercials? We have about 8 minutes left.
I did Kenmore. I did a tampon commercial, Bud Light. I told you, Ashley's Fresh.
Would you get recognized?
Oh yeah, definitely. I have a cars.com commercial out right now where I'm pregnant. I'm very pregnant in it. I'm trying to think of all my AT&T, Bud Light. Oh, I should look at my resume. I did a Purina commercial.
So you've done a lot.
Yeah, I had a good. I had four
so
running at
you're
one
rich.
Time. No, I'm not rich.
She's rich, guys. But she has a boyfriend. If she didn't have a boyfriend, you should.
I know.
Look
I have
up.
Student loans. That's what I got
from Emerson. So okay, we have about 7 minutes left. We gotta get to, how did the Californication come up? Because as I said, I'm a diehard. People watch that show. That on Sunday nights, first of all, are the best night on TV. Right now, I when I go home, I love HBO and Showtime, the East Coast feed.
Yeah.
So now, like, I can watch, because I watch Boardwalk Empire. I watch.
Do you watch? Yeah.
What?
I was gonna say, well, Breaking Bad. When do you get Breaking Bad?
I'm on season three of Breaking Bad.
You catch
Bad
up already, man.
But I like that Low Winter Suns after Breaking Bad is very good.
Oh, I don't know that show.
And it's like four episodes in, and I watched the Dexter, and Ray Donovan is hands down one of the best shows.
That's where all the crew is going to from Californication is going over to that.
Ray
show.
Donovan. It's funny, but that was I ran into Stephen Bauer, who's from Scarface, at this bar I hang out, and I'm like, that's Stephen Bauer. So I sent him a drink. He drinks Dewars on the Rocks. And we started talking, and I was a little drunk, and I was like, yeah, you got to go to my show. So he gave me his PR person's number. I lost it. I said, yeah, whatever. It's too much work.
Yeah.
But he was really cool. And what I liked about that was he was talking. That was when the show was shooting. He's like, I'm out doing the show because he lives in Miami.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And then I watched it. And I'm like, wow.
I'm dying to be on that show.
It's so good.
Yeah. I would love to be on that show. The whole crew from Californication's over to that show.
So how did Californication come?
So it was just an audition. And it was actually kind of funny because they said, come in. It's going to be an improvised thing. I was like, beautiful. Because most of the stuff I book is improvised. And she's like, okay, so we're going to start with scene one. And I was like, what? I thought we were improvising this. She's like, why don't you take a second? And Felicia Fasano, the casting director, is incredible. Like, just the sweetest, smart. I mean, the cast that she put together is just beautiful. And then booked the job, and it was just going to be a one-liner thing. We're in a writer's room.
That happens so much that people sit there, they come on and they... Like David Higgins was on Malcolm in the Middle. That was supposed to be one episode. And then they sit there and they like you, or there's a chemistry.
There was a chemistry. The entire room is all comics that they hired. Alonzo Bowden.
He's been.
Yeah, he's incredible. Chris Titone is also a comic. Daryl Chip Hammond. DJ LaBelle, he's a comic as well. He's the big LA Girls music video that's like all over YouTube. And we all just really clicked. And it's a different director every episode, but the director, the first episode that I was in, just let me go. So I just like improvised, and they loved it, and they just kept me on. And the whole, it's literally the most incredible cast and crew I've ever worked with. I'm so spoiled now.
Well, this is your first like series. Like,
this I know is my first series.
You played
yeah.
the beautiful girl on
the, Sullivan. Not a real part.
But you also put in your TV credits. You did your stand up on Stilettos.
Yeah, I did Two Broke Girls. I did a guest star on there, and little things here and there. But I hadn't really been on a whole
like
season.
The Broke Girls.
Oh, I love that show.
I thought the first season was really good.
Yeah,
I thought it was really funny. I thought the second season sucked.
I haven't really been watching, I have to admit.
I think the writing's become very sophomoric.
No.
In the beginning, it was good. It was edgy. Now it's like, hey, let's just do the dick joke. And then to me, it bothers me because they're both likable. They have a good chemistry. Garrett Morris is brilliant. I mean, it's
and Jonathan. I love Jonathan as well. He's the guy, like the Russian, like
Jonathan Kite.
Yeah,
he opens for Jimmy Schubert a lot.
He's amazing.
You know Schubert.
I know. Yeah, I tell him all the time. I'm like, take me on the road.
Schubert's. I told him too.
Tell him take me on the road.
Why? He was at my Super Bowl party. I'm like, it's him and Jimmy Della Valle. And I go, what are you guys gonna take me to feature with you guys? And I said, just so you know. And they're like, we can't. You'll make us work.
I know, right?
They don't want to work. But Jimmy's so fun, so funny. I mean,
I saw him in Vegas last time. I'm like, Jimmy, what are you doing here? Why aren't you bringing me with you?
That's crazy.
Yeah. But so it started like that. And then we just stayed. They just would bring us. Even if we didn't have lines, they would just put us in the episode. And we'd like kind of just be there as a presence.
Because they're writing the show.
He's basically writing on a show this season. Instead of writing like a book or a novel, he's like on a TV show. He's writing on a crappy TV show.
The guy, Beverly Hills. No,
yeah, Beverly Hills Cop.
Santa Monica Cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it just stayed. And I can't wait to. And the rap party was the most iconic thing I've ever been to. It was like Tom Jones,
really?
Steve Jones. Oh, Steve Jones is in the season too.
Jones
and he's killer. Yeah,
he was on last season.
He's
plays
on
the bodyguard.
He's totally nudie on this season.
He
so
plays Al, whatever the guy, the heavy metal guy. That
he just like a he basically
he plays
like
bodyguard.
A rocker.
He plays the bodyguard.
Yeah, guy. And he shows up again this season, and we became buddies. And it was like the Eagles played Marilyn Manson
at the rap party.
At the rap party.
Where was it at?
It was on at the studio where they filmed, and it was just killer. David played guitar. Tom did too.
It's funny, like for you, not because you're younger, like. All those bands are big, but like Steve Jones, you weren't alive when the Sex Pistols came out.
It's so funny, but I've always been a fan of the Sex Pistols.
Okay.
And then me and Steve Jones kind of became friends through Bobby on Instagram, because Bobby posted a photo of me and him both on the toilet before our show. He was like, pre-show poops. And Steve was like, who's that gross girl next to you? And I was like, hey, wait a minute. So we kind of started a banter back and forth. And then we're like sitting around, and I see Steve Jones. I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up? Like, we're friends on Instagram. And he's like, hey, how are you? And
that's what's
I
great
didn't
about
put
social
it together.
Media. It's so funny. It's like you meet people. It's like, I mean, I wouldn't have the show if it wasn't for social media, because I get all my guests to the show. I sent you a message.
Yeah.
It took a little while to get back to me. And I was
I'm bad with Facebook.
I know, it's fine. No, I know, but
I'd rather get emails.
I take it personal sometimes. I go, what, this person?
Like,
no, because there's some people, I'm not going to mention their names, who won't get back to me. Like, they don't even respond. Like, I say,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You came on. It's great. But that's what cracks me up. It's like, and you were very, very nice, and you seemed very excited, and I was very happy because you had a lot of stuff going on. And when I saw your California case, notifications because I'm friends with on Instagram. I follow you because when I join Instagram,
oh, cool.
No, when I join Instagram, every person you're friends with Facebook, it says, "Do you want to follow?"
Oh,
me?
I know.
Yeah,
right?
I don't care. I'm like, I don't. I, yeah, whatever.
I love Instagram, man.
I like it. I like.
Yeah, I dig it.
We
a lot.
We have a minute left. You gotta tell everyone where to find you. And,
oh
and,
yeah.
And all that stuff.
Well, of course, look out for me on Californication. My tiny part should be sweet. You can find me at the Jade Movie on Instagram or on Twitter. I'm at the Improv, the Laugh Factory, and the Comedy Store several nights a week. Tonight I'm doing a weird show at a theater downtown.
Well, this airs
so look
Wednesday,
that up.
So it's not.
Oh crap!
But it's all right. I want to thank you. Thank you so much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you for having me. It was such a fun time.
People, tonight Wednesday, I'll be at the Ha Ha Cafe, Robert Zapata show at 9 o'clock. Thursday, I'll be on Brash Babble. It's on.
What's that?
Public access talk show with Vicky Wagner's the host. I'll be on that.
Fun.
The 27th of this month, I'll be at the Marlton Comedy Cabaret in New Jersey, my last performance for a while. Follow me at Cooper Talk. My website is coopertalk.net. I have about 180 episodes up. Next Thursday, and like every other Thursday, but not this week, you can listen to 94 WYP Philly Sports Radio. I do my midnight segment, which is 3 o'clock East Coast time. So I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my guest, Jade Catapreta.
Ah, gracias.
And I'm Steve Cooper. Monet's Hip is my guest. Drink your water, eat your vegetables, and take your vitamins. I'm out of here.
Bye.